Co de Kloet met Co Live. NTR Radio 6.
Mr. Golden Earring Barry Hay met de big band van het Metropoolorkest met Can We Still Be Friends van Todd Rundgren. En het hele uur staat nu in het teken van Todd Rundgren, want over een paar dagen, volgens mij precies op 9 april, komt zijn nieuwe cd uit, State. En in een gelimiteerde oplage zit daar een tweede cd bij met een bloemlezing uit het concert van 11 november 2012 in Paradiso in Amsterdam. Want toen trad Todd Rundgren zelf op met het Metropoolorkest, het gehele orkest onder leiding van Steve Sidwell, met een glansrol voor vocaliste Mathilde Santing, die samen met Mariska Hekkenberg en Wouter Penris de backing vocals verzorgde en ook een prachtig duet zong met Todd Rundgren. De komende uur staan we daarbij stil bij die release en bij het concert. En je hoort buiten de muziek ook nog een paar stukken van die nieuwe State-cd. En een gesprek deelde daaruit wat mijn vriend en collega Tim Op het Broek van L1 in Limburg met Todd Rundgren had. Tim doet vaker interviews voor Co-Live en dat zul je ook de komende maanden wel zullen merken. En hij sprak Todd Rundgren tijdens die bijzondere ontmoeting met het Metropoolorkest onder leiding van Steve Sidwell. If you're into Todd Rundgren, stay tuned.
Thank you. this is Todd Rundgren, and you're listening to Co-Live, Radio 6, Soul and Jazz.
Let's talk about the Metropole Orchestra. Can you tell me how this whole project all started? Because this is the second time now. How did it all got together?
Well, I've been in contact with Code Clute for many years, and I think it might have been 4 or 5 years ago when I was touring with Ethel String Quartet and Joe Jackson. Might have been a little longer than that. I think 2005 was the year. And Co floated the idea, but didn't really have a date. You know, he had already done a few of these. He had done Steve I think, and Terry Bozzio. I think he had done a show with them. So he was looking for more people that would make a good fit with the orchestra, and he broached the idea to me, and I thought, you know, it's a great idea, just, you know, when are we going to do it? And it, time passed, years passed, and then finally he popped the question and said, all right, let's actually do it. So we did it for the first time last year. We had a terrific time doing it, and it was a big success from an audience standpoint, an even bigger success, I think, from an internet standpoint.
dancing in the middle of a daydream. In a place I'd never been before, couldn't tell if I was still awake or sleeping. Saw so many things I barely recognize. But then I was lost. But then I saw you.
And I could not know you anymore. But I swear that I could be wrong. But I swear that I knew you in another life. And I could not feel you twice in love. And I could be dreaming. But I swear that I knew you in another life.
Certain things affect me certain ways. And this isn't just the first time that it's crossed my mind. Something happens and the crystal clears, and you begin to recognize all of the little signs. Wish that I could place every little gesture.
I was solicited by a friend of mine named Hal Wilner, who essentially is a music producer. His regular job is musical director on a long-running American live variety show called Saturday Night Live. And so there's that part of it, but then he also he produces records for other people. He's produced Lou Reed and Leonard Cohen and some other people. And then he also does sort of bizarre projects where he puts together odd collections of musicians, you know, sometimes seemingly incompatible combinations of musicians, just to see what happens. And in any case, he was contracted by the Bath Festival in England, which is a festival that, instead of having professional musicians come in and perform, mm-hmm. all of the people in Bath perform, play and sing the, you know, various aspects of it. It sort of takes place all over the town, and the theme that year was the plagues from the Book of Exodus. And so all of the people that he asked to write something for it each got a plague, you know. And by the time it got to me, most of the cool plagues had been taken. I wound up with the plague of frogs. And so I wrote a song about a plague of frogs and submitted it to the Bath Festival. And they essentially, without comment, told me that they were not going to perform it. So that's why it's a world premiere here. I don't know. There's a lot of friggin' and fragging and stuff in it, and maybe they thought the children would misunderstand or something. Yeah, there's a bit about, you know, frogs mating in it, and maybe they just thought it was not appropriate for a mixed audience, or perhaps they thought it was just, you know, too complicated to do. I got no comment from them, so I can only guess.
They will hide in every crevice, in any urn or cake. If you stand still for a second, they'll be crawling up your leg. And the stench that arises can leave you agone. For the air is foul with droppings, and the streets are soaked in gore, as they're tossed from open windows on the third and second floor. What is the sound of a plummeting frog? It's a sickening thwap like a rock in a bog. They scare the pets and clog the drains. The cow licked one and went insane. Those friggin' frogs, those fraggin' frogs, those friggin' frogs in every shape and size. That tear with thick dictating eyes and croak their mindless monologues. Those friggin' frogs. If I offend, then please forgive my liberal use of expletive. Those friggin' frogs. Goes another toady, spraying entrails on your boots as they're crowded off the rooftops by a wave of new recruits. To call it a plague isn't nearly enough. I've heard all the explanations and I've done what they suggest, but the changes to my lifestyle are unbearable at best. I've gnawed on their legs till I long to throw up. When I comfort my wife, they abruptly disrupt. And the racket never seems to stop. Do they ever rest? Apparently not. Those friggin' frogs, those friggin' frogs. They frig, they frag, they frig, they frag. Despite the hype, the tank remains. We're drowning in amphibians. It's not just pouring cats and dogs, it's raining frogs. It's plain to see we've reached the state where one cannot exaggerate. Those friggin' frogs. It's there with me, titanium eyes. They croak their mindless monologues. Those friggin' frogs. If I offend them, please forgive my liberal use of expletive. Those friggin' frogs. For nearly a fortnight I've gone without sleep, while eternally blissful they bellow in peace. They climb on each other and mate while they howl. The result is a slimy, gelatinous glob. The cistern and the watering holes, the swarm with slithery tattletales. Those friggin' frogs, those fraggin' frogs, those friggin' fraggin' friggin' fraggin' friggin' fraggin' friggin' fraggin' frogs in every shape and size. They're there with nicotine in ice and croak their mindless monologues. Those friggin' frogs. If I offend them, please forgive me. Despite the hype, the fact remains, we're drowning in amphibians. It's not just raining cats or dogs, it's raining frogs. Plain to see, we've reached the state where one cannot exaggerate. The friggin' frogs.
you know, when I was young and growing up, music was part of your lifestyle. You know, it was a lifestyle choice, and you communicated a lot with your friends about what you were listening to. And I think that young people still tend to do that. You know, in older audiences, they don't spend as much time, you know, focused on music and talking about it with their friends. Every once in a while, you'll discover an artist, you know, maybe suggested to someone, but it isn't top. You know, you're not consuming a lot of music the way that a younger audience is. So whatever their listening habits are, you're going to have to adjust to them to a certain degree. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that all is lost in terms of the concept album. But there would definitely have to be something about it that made it worth, you know, that people would do the calculus in their heads to say, okay, I'm gonna invest the time in listening to this.
Yeah.
That was always kind of getting a little bit more difficult, because as music became portable, you know, back when the Sony Walkman was first invented, that
there's more distraction around you.
Yeah, essentially, people started to change their listening habits. They didn't go home to listen to music anymore. They took it with them, so they were kind of using it as
a soundtrack.
Soundtrack to their lives, wallpaper. You know, yeah. Same thing. They would use it when they would listen to something when they jogged. You know, but it had to be something that was the proper tempo. So it had to suit the jogging part. You know, you. A certain kind of music to dance to, certain kind of music to romance to, that kind of thing, you know, certain kind of music to eat dinner to. So people started to realize that once the delivery of music became more flexible and more ubiquitous, mm-hmm. then you started to use it for more things. You know, it wasn't just simply for listening. But what we did lose in that process was that sort of anticipation of a record, and then creating a space for it, you know, so that you could totally focus on it and listen to it, like we used to do every time a Beatles album came out.
Yeah.
Lock the door, unplug the phone, listen to the whole thing top to bottom, and then maybe listen to it again top to bottom, you know, before you did anything serious. So.
Junkie's needle, start thinking feeble. Cowardly lion, the special today is karma yoga. Glued to the sofa, where was I when we lost power? Where was I when just cussing, then turn us in. Family ties, we used to be colors in a rainbow. Now we fly so low. Give me back the passion flower. Give me back the pink consumer. Press.
But is there maybe one album that you like to do again or differently?
You know, it's funny. I've kind of made a point of changing, you know, what I do from album to album, which originally used to upset people a lot. You know, they would hear an album like Something Anything and then say, oh, give us more of that. And then I come out with an album like A Wizard, A True Star, and they say, that's not what we were expecting, you know. And it just kind of proceeded on that way, you know, album after album of me doing something completely different from the previous album. And I think part of it is because I have inside me, an aversion to repeating myself. You know, I figure, like, if you're not constantly absorbing new things and trying to express yourself using these new tools, that you're stagnating in a way, you know, that you're losing your creative spark. Mm-hmm. And so while there may be instances, you know, here and there of something that I think I could have done better, I never look back at anything and think that I want to return to that way of thinking, you know, that I want to rewind everything back to a certain point. I'm still trying to, you know, absorb new influences. I've got a record that I have to deliver by January, and most of my time has been spent not writing, but actually researching what's happening in music.
Okay, that's interesting, because I talked to Jeff Lynne last week, and he said to me, while I'm working on a new album, I don't listen to new music, because it's a distraction for me. For you, it's an inspiration then.
Well, what I do is I listen to new music and what's happening, but not with the purpose necessarily of imitating it. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, if I hear something new that I like, I will listen to it once, maybe twice, because I am afraid that if I listen to it too many times, I will literally try and take something out of it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's this whole dubstep thing that's happening now with these aggressive bass lines and stuff like that. And I want to do something with that, but I'm afraid if I listen to Skrillex too much, I'm just going to do literally.
Is that a fear of some of the musicians?
Yeah, you would just do literally that, you know. And so I want to get the essence of it, you know, in there, but I want to avoid actually doing literally what that is, or find a way to, you know, to couch that with something else that, you know, makes it a little bit more sophisticated or a little bit more me in some way. And so I'm doing all sorts of research, you know, with different kinds of music, with these new sort of, it's very interesting to me, you know, how much emphasis there is now on the instrumental aspect of music, and that the songs are very spare. And I think for somebody like me who tends to over-lyricize, you know, I tend to write too many words sometimes, because I like writing lyrics and I like playing with words and things like that, but sometimes discretion is the better part of valor. Minimalism sometimes is more effective than, you know, sometimes less is more. I'm low. Goodbye.
as a grand old maid across the sea. So the story was recalled to me, and from dawn till dawn down in front of the wailing wall, and she cries all day, so sad and alone, till someone comes along and leads her home. Nobody listens and nobody seems to care, but every day you'll find them there and kneeling down for sadness' sake, crying just as though their hearts would break. And from dawn till dawn, you hear them call from in front of the wailing wall, and they cry all day, so sad and alone, till someone comes and leads them home. You know I don't listen, and you know that I don't care, but every day you'll find me from in front of the wailing wall.
The day is done, the blinds are drawn, the sound of afternoon is gone. The corner store has locked its door, and everyone has left for home. When they sleep,
into their beds, you and I will stay.
Tot zover deel 1 van een aantal specials rond Todd Rundgren en het Metropoolorkest, onder leiding van Steve Sidwell, met backing vocals van Mathilde Santing, Mariske Hekkenberg en Wouter Penris. Ik kom daar de komende weken nog een aantal keren op terug. Dit was deel 1 van die Todd Rundgren Metropool Special. Voor meer informatie, colive@radio6.nl. Stemmen op je keuzeconcert kan nog steeds via colive.radio6.nl. En zometeen, na het nieuws natuurlijk, onze rubriek Hammond Alive. Dus ik zou zeggen, blijf luisteren. Bedankt overigens speciaal nog Tim Op het Broek voor het interview dat je maakte met Todd Rundgren. En Tim die is binnenkort wederom te gast in onze uitzendingen, maar dan rond Steve Vai. Ik zou zeggen, blijf lekker luisteren.